to Psalm 19 tonight. We're only going to cover six verses. This is a great psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms. Let me read, and as I do, listen to the words, and also these incredible, the photography of the universe. Isn't that just unbelievable? I mean, do you know that stuff's going on right now, and we're just a little speck of dust traveling through the Milky Way, amen? Think about that. Do you think of that often? All right, I can tell. Psalm 19. It says here, and I'm in not the Psalms, I was in Isaiah 19, so let me get into the Psalms. Just 1 second. That's good to start out this way. Make sure you're listening. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. And the church says, amen. Tonight, as we look at this great psalm, loved one, the heavens are incredible, aren't they? I mean, when is the last time? Do you remember, maybe as a kid, did you remember how you used to just get out in the lawn chair, you lay on the grass? You didn't care back then. There wasn't anything like fire ants, you know? They came from California, by the way. You know I'm teasing if you're from California. Not really. Anyway, you lay out in the San Augustine at night, you see sometimes the shooting stars, or we call them the falling stars, and you look up into the heavens, and there wasn't this light pollution that we have today. That was a great time, wasn't it? Or you get on top the roof at your house at night with the kiddos, and you just look up. It's amazing all that God has done. You know, tonight as we look at what heaven declares, C.S. Lewis said this about this great psalm. He said, the greatest poem in the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. Now listen, we're not told where David penned this incredible psalm. Perhaps it was out in the field. Perhaps, of course, maybe deep into the night. I don't know. We just not told. But I know this. Each time that I read this psalm, I'm reminded of that great hymn. One of the greatest hymns that was ever written by Carl Coburg. And that was, How Great Thou Art. Remember? What a great song. You know the words, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, amen. Oh, God is so great. The incredible heavens that God has made. I stand in awe of them all the time. I love the sunsets. I love the sunrises. I love to look at the moon. You know, there's times that I even go out. I've taken pictures when I used to walk, go on my walk early in the morning, you know, like 4 o'clock. I'd wrap up in the winter, man. And now I don't do that because I'm a senior and I'm afraid of people, you know. So I don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you something. When we look at these six verses, the revelation of God, the revealed revelation of God to mankind, through the heavens. What in the world? What does the heavens declare? We're going to learn that tonight. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Let's begin in verse 1 on what heaven declares. The heavens, that's plural by the way, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that's the expanse of heaven, if you will, the firmament shows or displays his handiwork. Say those two words, his handiwork. Not the Big Bang's handiwork. Amen? Not evolution or whatever the rest of that junk that's untrue that's being taught as truth today. No, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows or displays his handiwork. The work of our Father's hands. Anytime you look up into the heavens, loved one, you look at the stars, the moon, whatever is there, your Father in heaven spoke it and it happened. Amen? He created all of it. So it says the heavens, plural, declare the glory of God. The word God there is El, which is the mighty one who created everything. And you know, it says here that creation has a voice. It displays the handiwork of God. Do you know it never stops declaring the goodness of God, the glory of God? Amen? And then he says, David says, day unto day, talking about the heavens, the stars, and all of it, utters speech, and night unto night reveals what? Reveals knowledge. Now, if you looked up that word knowledge in the Hebrew, so in the Old Testament, it's literally defined this way, this particular word knowledge in Hebrew, it's defined as an experience or an emotion with intellectual understanding. There's something emotional and overwhelming when you look up into the heavens and you see all of the stars. Does it kind of make you maybe in awe? Yeah. I mean, isn't it amazing? Like I said earlier, here we are on a little speck of dust, and we're just a little speck of dust, and we're traveling right this moment. God, it's unbelievable to see all that God has done. It's an emotional thing. You know, have you ever, if you'll just do a study of those six verses, you cannot imagine how many hymns have been written about the stars and the heavens and so forth. A matter of fact, if you just studied out how many songs in our time have been written about the stars or the heavens. I mean, think about, this one always gets me. It's emotional to me, and I don't even know why. But you remember Jiminy Cricket? No, you know, Pinocchio. When you wish upon a... There you go. I'm not going to sing that. Do you know that is a great song? I watched Jiminy Cricket. I couldn't help it. After I knew what I was teaching on, I went and, you know, you can pull up the old Disney things. You know, and a tear got in my eye. Oh, I know. It's sick. Man. But no, it's something, all this knowledge. So what is David saying? David is saying this, that the heavens, it utters. That word means it gushes God's knowledge to every person that ever looks up into the universe. In other words, it speaks, loved one. Yet, look what it says in verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, yet they don't speak. But God says, oh no, their voice is heard everywhere. In other words, this is a universal revelation from God to all of mankind when they look up into the heavens. Why? Because they declare the glory of God, and yet they never utter one word. Every time man in any generation, they go outside at night and they look up, guess what happens? A message is given by the stars and the heavens that display the handiwork of God to every person in every generation. A message, a revelation from God, and yet heaven is a silent witness, isn't it? It's a silent voice from the universe. And what does God say? He says this, there is a God. There is a real God. There is a divine God who created everything, and creation speaks. It declares the glory of God to every person that ever looks up at the star, the sun, the moon, whatever it might be. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Not the Big Bang, not evolution, not some slime that crawled out of some ooze. In the beginning, God. You read Genesis 1:1, God didn't introduce himself. He declared, I'm God. Amen? He didn't give us any information. In the beginning, God did something. Created the heavens and the earth. Created is the Hebrew word bara. It means that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Boy, think about that. So God is so clear. God says, no, I created all this. I don't care what the scientists today tell you. Big Bang or Little Bang or Middle Bang. It doesn't matter. It's all a bunch of, as we say in Texas, bull, okay? No, creation reveals the glory of God and the power of God. The Bible says in Psalm 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Just a word. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:9, it says, God spoke. It was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let there be light. Or as it would say, let light be, and light was. Think about that. I mean, just speaking it, and it happened. Does that not blow you away? Listen, God called in existence. He spoke, it was done. He called into existence which had no existence. He created this out of nothing. You try that sometime. Do you understand me? Imagine nothing. Let there be light. And light was. Man, listen, I'm in awe of God. I'm in awe of God's power. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen, everything that you see out there, were not made of things which are visible. Why don't you do a study? Did you know that no one in any generation, no one that has ever lived, and no scientist that is alive today can create something out of nothing? Think about it. Nothing. And just speak it. Think about it. Does that do something for you? It makes me rejoice. He's my Father. I belong to Him. You belong to Him tonight. Amen? We're going to celebrate His table in just a few minutes. The heavens declare the glory of God. Remember what happened on the fourth day? Let me read it to you. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs. Let them be for seasons. Let them be for days and years, and let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. That scripture is so powerful. It deserves an entire sermon on its own. I encourage you to go through the Bible and study out the sun, the moons, and the stars, and look at the end times. Go to Amos and all the Old Testament prophets, and go into the book of Revelation, how the sun, the moon, the stars are going to fall from heaven. God says all the way back in Genesis, I'm giving them for a sign. They have a purpose. Are you following me? God is incredible. Can you imagine there God is getting ready to speak? And let's say you were there. I mean, can you imagine an empty heaven above you? John Lennon would say, it's easy if you try. Never mind, you didn't get it. never mind, I don't know. Lord help me. And then it's all nothing. And then all of a sudden, the entire God speaks, and the entire universe is lit up. I'm going, oh, that is heavy. Man, creation is going to be governed now, back then, as it is today, by time. By the moon, the suns, the stars, all of those things. And then God made two great lights, it says in Genesis 1:16. The greater light to rule the day, or to govern the day. The lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Five words. Hello, Lord. Can you give me a little bit more? He made the stars also. Listen to what God did. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And so it was the evening and morning there of the fourth day. Now, we know that the sun is the major light, the greater light. The moon is the lesser light. Amen? One rules the day. One rules the night. Can I ask you a question? How in the world did Moses know the sun was larger than the moon? How did he know that? God. You understand? God. God told him, listen, all of the ancients during the time of Moses, even to many past that, they all believed that the moon was larger, but it's not. Did you know that the sun can contain 6 million moons? Think about that for a moment. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 148:1. He says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights." In other words, the most exalted place in all of creation. He says, "Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun. Praise him, moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord." Why? For God commanded. They were created. He also established them forever and ever, and he made a decree which shall not pass away. Isn't that amazing? When you look into the heavens, did you know what God is saying through the psalmist? He's saying that everything in the heavens are designed to bring glory to God. Why? He commanded it. He spoke. It was done. It goes on and it says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures, all you depths, fire, hail, snow, cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains, hills, fruitful trees, all the cedars, beasts, all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth, all peoples, princes, all the judges of the earth, young men, maidens, old men, children, Democrats, Republicans. Let them praise the name of the Lord." Why? Listen carefully. "For his name alone is exalted, and his glory is above the heaven and the earth." Listen, why did I read all that? Because everything that God has created, the earth, the moon, everything that there is, he created them to praise the Lord. Creation should point every person on this planet to the worship of Almighty God. That's what the scripture is teaching. It says sea creatures, everything, everyone, fire, snow, kings, young people, older people, all the nations. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16 and 1:17, that everything was created through him, meaning Jesus, and for him and by him. And by him all things consist. In other words, the entire universe, everything consists or is literally held together by him. And it's also, when it says created for him and through him, that means everything that was created for a divine purpose. Next time you see a snowflake, I don't know when you will, maybe not, but it was created for a purpose. Have you ever just had the smell of an aroma of the flower? Jesus did that. Do you understand? Everything that he did. When you hear a bird, I love to go outside. I have this one bird. I know exactly when he starts singing, okay? Every morning he gets on the antenna of my house. That's right, I still have an antenna outside. It's old like me, but it still works, you know? And that bird, I don't know if it's a mockingbird, I think that's what it is, has his own little unique voice, about 1,000 of them. Mockingbird, he can do, okay. But every morning, he sits on the highest point of my home, which is that antenna, and he rules, man. He comes out and he starts singing this song, "I Could Set My Watch By It." He's waking up, and then the rest of the birds start. It's like, it's amazing to see all that God has done. Amen? And everything has that purpose, the singing of the birds and all the rest of it. In Psalm, look at verse 3 again in Psalm 19. It says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Again, that universal revelation. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and they also," the heavens declare and reveal the power of Almighty God. He spoke and it was done, in other words. Listen from Romans 1:19. It says, Paul says, because what may be known of God, in other words, what's apparent about God, is manifest, listen carefully, in them. What is known about God? It says, what is made manifest or what is made visible or apparent is known in them. He's talking about mankind. Every person and every generation, God has made known that he's real. Did you know that? You say, Bill, that can't be. Oh, yes, it is. It says that he made manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, made it plain, made it evident. In other words, every person knows that there is a God because God made it plain to them. Why? In their conscience. I mean, it's evident. So that's a universal revelation to God, to man, or from God to mankind about creation. I'm not through. Listen to this part. For since the creation of the world, all the way back to Adam and Eve, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, meaning the entire universe, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, meaning mankind, they are without excuse. Why? All that man has to do to know that there is a God is simply look up, because the heavens declare the glory of God. They utter their speech from day to day, from night to night, from year to year, since they were created. Amen? That's what God is saying right here, that universal revelation. Listen, God made it so plain that no one can miss it. The word clearly seen in the Greek means no person can say, I don't know, or did not know, or did not make it plain. What's the message? There is a God. God is real. Creation speaks. Man is without an excuse, loved one. Now listen carefully. What exactly are you saying, Bill? I'm saying that whenever you look up at the stars, it doesn't matter when you were born or when they were born and so forth, creation shouts to man. And here's the deal. There is a God. But you don't have to have a Bible to know there is a God. Does that make sense? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about God says, I've made it manifest. You know in your hearts, because he put that into man. In other words, we have eternity, it says in Ecclesiastes, living in us. Listen, I look and I say, oh, Lord, you look at nature. Look at, I mean, you know what's amazing? I remember a few years back when my wife and I, Becky, we had to drive down to Mexico to Reynosa when we had the orphanage was when we were there, not in Camargo. And there is a drive, and Steve Carroll and all you mission team guys, if you drove during this specific time, and I forget exactly when it is, but there's like miles and miles and miles of sunflowers in the fields. It's breathtaking to see them. And what happens is, as you're driving, the sunflowers all turn toward the sun. Is that correct? That's why they're called sunflowers. So as the sun goes overhead, what does the sunflower do? It follows the sun. When it starts setting, they turn. It's the most beautiful thing that you can imagine to see, especially when you drive 15 miles and that's all there is. It's breathtaking. I took so many pictures, and there's the same picture. They were all sunflowers. No, in the fall, when you think about the heavens, you think about God's creation, all that he's done. I mean, have you ever witnessed, we're so living inside today, we're never outside. Have you ever witnessed the rapture migration? It is breathtaking. Rebecca and I have had the opportunity, and I knew it had to be God. We were outside, we were just looking up in broad daylight, just messing around talking, and there they came. You know, the raptors, falcons and the hawks and the vultures and the ospreys, all these different, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. They're overhead and they're all circling, and you're going, are they coming after me? But to see the different colors and how overhead, it's the most breathtaking, one of the most breathtaking things that I've ever seen. Those eagles and all the hawks and everything that was up there, you should check it out. I think the next migration is October or maybe it's September, but I keep my calendar marked so it comes up. So I go outside and start looking. It's unbelievable to see that, because it's for miles and miles. Do you understand? They're leaving their winter grounds on the way to wherever they're going, Mexico or whatever it is. They're on vacation. He says in verse 3 again, look at it now. There is no speech, there's not a language where their voice is not heard. Talking about the heavens. Their line, or literally that word means sound. Their sound has gone out through all the earth. their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, a tent, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run to its race. And its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there, talking about the sun, there is nothing hidden from its heat. There is nothing more brutal than an August Texas sun. But there is nothing more beautiful than a Texas sunrise or sunset. I tell you, I've been in many parts of the world, but I tell you, Texas to me, when you're up high, you know, like over at 820, and you go way up high, and you can look down and you see a Lockheed and all that, and the Lake Worth water area, whatever that is, Lake Worth, the lake. But you're way up there, and you're looking down, and there's way out there's Weatherford, you know what I mean. But you could see for miles, and that sun is setting. God did that. Every sunset is different. Every sunrise is different. Sometimes at night in the winter, you see that sky. It's so beautiful, the pink and the different colors. That's what God has created. And David says, man, it's like a bridegroom rushing out to meet the bride. It's like a strong man running a race. That's what God has done. The heavens, what do they declare? They declare the glory of God. Listen carefully. Psalm 147, 4. God, he counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. You believe that? All of them by name. You got a big alphabet, man. Because, I mean, there is a, have you seen all those stars we just looked at a moment ago? How about this one? Job 26:7. Job says, God, he hangs the earth on nothing. I always ask the same question. Job, who told you that? Who told you that? Where did you get that information? How did Job know what scientists didn't know until just a few hundred years ago? You understand? The earth is suspended right now on nothing. God's word supports it, isn't it? By him, all things consist. Man, how could anyone not believe in God? And I look at all of that. The earth hangs on nothing. I've got some facts for you. Ready for this? The earth is 25,000 miles in circumference. It weighs 6,588 tons and hangs unsupported in space. Now, but that was, of course, the last time I weighed it. But I know I'm pretty close. Do you understand? No, listen. How about this one? Right now, this earth that we're on, that's floating in space, we are moving at 67,000 miles per hour, taking its path around the sun, okay? Not only that, I looked that up, that's 1,100 miles a minute. And, you know, I'm wondering now why I kind of wobble. No. Our galaxy, you ready for that? The galaxy that we are in? Boy, this is fascinating. I don't know how they come up with this information. It says, is rotating like a hurricane at the speed of 490,000 miles per hour. Listen to what Job said about creation. I love this verse. Job 26:14. Indeed, Job says, these are the mere edges of God's ways. And how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Boy, that is a true word, Job. His power. Who can really understand the power of God? Let me give you the translation of this right here, where it says, indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. That means that all that we've been talking about tonight, all of creation, are literally the fringes of his power. The New Living Translation puts it this way. These are just some of the minor things, talking about the creation, that God does. That's just a whisper of his power. Just a whisper of his power. That's the God that we serve, amen? That's the God who we love and who loves us and sent Jesus to die for us. Here's what I want you to do. I know we still have a lot of time tonight, so don't worry, we got two more hours. Now, I'm going to put Jiminy Cricket on to sing in a moment. Not really. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah, and let's look at something as we get ready. We're going to celebrate communion soon, but let's look at something. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 21. Isaiah 40, verse 21. The prophet cries out, God cries out. He says, listen, have you not known, Isaiah 40, 21, have you not known, have you not heard, has it not been told you from the beginning, have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Talking about God, questioning man. What's wrong with you? Do you not know that I can do anything? Nothing's too hard for me. God says in verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. You know something? Had Columbus believed in God's word when he set sail, he would have made this, it would have made all the difference in the world. Because, see, they thought the world was flat, but it's not flat. It just said, he who sits above the circle of the earth. Isn't God's word phenomenal? Unbelievable. Is there anything too difficult for God? No. Look at the next verse. He brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Go get them, Lord. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Shall they take stock or root in the earth. And when he will also just blow on them, and they'll wither, and the whirlwind will just take them away like stubble. Man, people on earth, they may think they have power. They have it for a little bit, but they're actually enthroned in God's power because he's the king. He's the ruler of the earth. By me, God says, kings reign. Amen? You know, you think of all that's happening. I'd love to talk about that verse. The people that rise up through the generations. Hitler's one of them, thinking that he could wipe out the Jews. You know what I'm saying? They just, what, last year, were celebrating, what, the 70th anniversary in the land? Jerusalem is now, even though it always has been, the eternal capital, is recognized as such. Boy, our redemption is drawing nigh, isn't it? Who knows what's going on? Verse 25, look what it says. To whom then will you liken me, God is speaking? Or to whom shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Now look what God says. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created all these things. Talking about the creation of God. Who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, and by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Now look what God says. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, why, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? I hope you don't feel like Israel of old. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Listen to me. God will never forget you. God is with us right now. Amen. As you've heard me say over and over, it's one of I speak it to myself. He will never relax his hold upon you. He will never leave you without support. No, never. So we can boldly say, what can man do to me? Amen. The Lord is our helper. Loved one, listen, we're inscribed on the palm of his hand. He never forgets who we are. Now look what God says, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord. The everlasting God, the omnipresence of God, the creator to the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary, the omnipotent God. His understanding is unsearchable. Man, I say, oh, Lord, unsearchable. You know what God just told them and us? I don't ever grow weary, God says. I don't ever grow weary. You don't wear me out. I love you. He's saying, listen, you know, nothing in the universe can ever wear out God, and nothing is capable of exhausting the incredible love of God. Yes, how good he is. He says, have you not known? I think you ought to pause and ask yourself tonight, how many times has God been unfaithful to you in the past? He's never been unfaithful. He is the faithful God. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Amen. We should pause where it says, have you not heard? How many promises of God have you heard over and over through your Christian walk? It helps if you believe them. Amen. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. God says there, I want you to do something. To the Israel of old, let's use it and apply it for us tonight. I want you to relearn what you already know. That nothing can exhaust me. That I never grow weary. That I'm not scratching my head in heaven as you cry out to me and say, Lord, what am I going to do? What's happening in my life? No, he is there. Nothing is too hard for God. God is faithful. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit of God. So what does God do when you're weary, worn out a little bit? He shares. Watch this. He gives power to the weak. Are you weak tonight? Are you worn out by anything? Circumstances, fear, whatever it might be, I hope not. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. That's a great word. There are times every pastor should be transparent because a pastor is not God. Do you understand? He's just like you. He's a human. He hurts and he weeps and he's attacked. It's just the office that one holds. But sometimes when I'm overwhelmed, I say, oh, no. He said, those who have no mind, look what God does. He increases strength. In other words, if you're ever say, I'm going to quit or I'm this or whatever, don't do that. Prepare for God's increase in your life. He's going, listen, don't give up, man. He who never grows weary, he says, listen, man, I am getting ready to give you some more strength. He says, even the youth, they're going to faint. They're going to grow weary. And the young men, they're going to utterly fall. In other words, even those in the prime of their life. But those who wait on the Lord, the wait, that word means to eagerly wait. Waiting in faith. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall what? Isn't that amazing? What are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Why? He's getting ready to renew my strength. Listen, they shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. Now listen to me. This is a great word from God our Father to us tonight. It says there again, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what that word literally means? It means to exchange or to literally change strength. No longer our strength, his strength. Amen? It also means to go from one state to another. Have you ever, driven out of Texas on your way to, not Arkansas? Is it Arkansas? Or no, Louisiana. It doesn't really matter. But I know, I don't know where it is. It's Texas, Arkansas. Does Texas border Arkansas? Italy. Maybe it's Texarkana. Anyway, there's a line there, remember? And there's a cafe called the Two State Cafe. Well, never mind. That's what that means. You to go from one state to the other. Don't go to Arkansas, but anyway. No, listen. The Bible tells us in Philippians, it's 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's present tense, continuous, moment by moment, hour by hour. I'm equal to anything with his strength, not my strength. I can't do anything with me. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But boy, with the Lord. See, our power doesn't come from anything natural. It doesn't come from any method of man. Our power is supernatural power because it's God's power. Amen? It lives in us right this minute. All that we never need in Christ, we will have. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Loved one, listen, Christianity is not a point of view. Christianity is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. What does heaven declare? Heaven declares the glory of God. What love is that? What grace is that? Someone said this, if the stars only came out once every 1,000 years, we would stay up all night and look at them with awe and wonder. When I look at the heavens, and I love to do that, I'm in awe of God. I feel so small. I feel almost frightened, if I may be honest. And I realize how wonderful it is to know that God chose us, that we're born from above, that we're the family of God. And as the ushers are going to come forth now, they're going to pass out the elements and the bread, the wine, and so forth. We're going to remember the Lord. Amen. We're going to celebrate Him. Listen, we are the body of Christ. The communion, as we call it, loved one, it's not the Lord's Supper is not some kind of ritual. It's a moment where we come together and we're obedient and we remember all that God has done for us. What an honor it is to be able, those that are in Christ, those that are born again, they may partake of the cup. Amen? It's His cup for us, His family. It's a time of intimacy and so forth. You know tonight that the Lord is with us. Amen? He really is here. The Holy Spirit is not only, we're not only sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only beside us. The Holy Spirit, loved one, has come upon us, that upper room experience. That power from upon high. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. But tonight, listen. Will you get your heart right if it's wrong? Get it right. If you've hurt someone, or if you have awed against someone, or you've gotten off on the right path, on the wrong path, get back on the right path tonight. Amen? The Bible tells us, as they're passing out the elements, let me read to you. You know, we're told, as I always say, we're told to look back. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, Paul says, after Jesus had given thanks, He broke it, meaning the bread, and He said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. And then Jesus tells us, He said, listen, don't ever forget Me. Isn't that a something? He says, what you do, do in remembrance of Me. Remember all that My death means. Remember all that My life means. Remember that I went to the cross. I took your place. Death can no longer touch you. Amen? Oh, the sin is as far as the east is from the west. He said, listen, all that you do tonight, I want you to remember Me. I want you to remember, too, tonight as we partake together as a family. The Bible tells us, it says, by whose stripes, or the word means wounds, we are healed. Now, I know that there are those who say that's a spiritual healing. I don't have a problem with that. But let me tell you something. Our God is a healer. The Bible says in Exodus 15, I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee. The psalmist has written, I am the Lord who heals all thy diseases. Jesus Himself bore our infirmities. Amen. We've seen so many people healed and delivered because God is still a healer and He's still a deliverer. He's still a rescuer. Amen? Maybe you're ill in your body. I don't understand healing. I'll never claim to understand healing, but I know that our God is a healer. Ask Him tonight if you have an infirmity, if your sickness is bothering in your body. Listen, after the search, come to the elder, let Him anoint you with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. Do this in remembrance of Him, the Bible says. So we look back at all that Jesus has done. And then Paul writes, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So we look back and remember all that Jesus has done for us. He took our place. He died our death. We're the freest people on earth, loved one. So we look back and now we look ahead. You know, let me tell you, we have this supper that we're partaking tonight, the cup of the new covenant, the blood of the covenant. But listen to me, one day it's going to come to an end, isn't it? See, Jesus really is coming back. It says, proclaim or preach literally the Lord's death till he comes. Jesus is coming. You know, and it may be tomorrow. It may be tonight. No man knoweth the day or of hour. What did Jesus tell us? He said, man, you watch therefore, you be ready, for you do not know the hour of my coming. I don't know when he's coming, but I'll tell you what, to be raptured out of here, to be taken out, to be caught up and to be with him forever, that's the coolest thing I could ever imagine. Amen? How wonderful would that be? To be with the Lord, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the one that now we are allowed to call our Father in heaven, by where we cry out, Abba, Father, where our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are indeed the children or the sons and daughters of God. What is better than that? And so we look back and we thank the Lord. The Bible teaches without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I know this, that we weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from this aimless, crummy, stinking life called on this earth, but with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. Amen? I thank God for that tonight. As our sins, as you've heard me just preach what this Sunday, last Sunday, our sins far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10:17, God remembers them no more. Eternal forgetfulness. I don't know how he does it. I don't forget, but he does. By his own desire. God knows everything, but he has that ability. He sees us in Christ tonight. And then Paul writes and he says, the next step, we look back, we look ahead. Now we're going to look inside. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. Now listen, self-examination, judging ourselves lest so we will not be judged and so forth, is a wonderful thing to do. Now you know and I know that there are things, maybe there's been an anger issue. You know, anger doesn't work the righteousness of God, does it? Maybe you're married tonight and you have aught with your husband or you have aught with your wife. Clean that up, man. Don't let the go down, whatever it says. Dear God. See, in evening, that's when I don't have anything working for me. Now, on Sunday mornings, I'm pretty clear. But by the time the evening gets here, it takes more than an act of God for me to remember anything. If you have all, clean it up. You know, we don't have time to be mad. We're the body of Christ. We're the only people on earth that have unity, loved one. So tonight, look with inside, but also discern the body the right way. Jesus died for your sins and my sins. He paid that price. Let's discern his body the right way and give him glory for all that he does. And so tonight, as I too celebrate with you, as I hold the cup, and I hold the bread. Let's go to the Lord now. Father, we thank you, we praise you for all your incredible goodness. And Lord, we have looked back. We remember. We remember the scriptures. We remember all that you've done for us. Oh, we love you tonight, Lord. And everything we do now, we do in remembrance of you. We're not remembering our burdens. We're not remembering our problems. We're not remembering anything but Jesus our Lord. Everything else, Lord, we drive out of our mind. And we see you. We see you. We see the stripes. We see the crown of thorns. We see the blood. We see your side. Oh, Lord, we see your face. Oh, God, forgive me. You on the cross. Oh Lord, we love you above all other things. So Lord, what we do now, we partake of this bread as your family. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the bread. Father, as we hold the cup of the new covenant in your blood in our hands tonight, the last blood that was shed for the offering of sin, Lord, by your blood, we have been eternally redeemed. Thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for taking my place, their place. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for carrying our sins so far away, O Lord. We just look within our heart now. What all that we do in perfect remembrance of you, Lord. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Lord, I thank you for this place called Calvary Chapel. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and all my sisters. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you visited your people. I just praise you. I just praise your name. For, Lord, there's no one like you. You said, O Father, in your word, you satisfy us. You satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you for the good things. Thank you for true satisfaction that only comes from you. So, Lord, we praise you tonight in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? We're going to close out with a song like we always do. And then, listen, you know, the elders and the youth pastors.